Welcome to a special campaign 2014 debate on Vermont Edition. Today, the major party candidates for Secretary of State will discuss the key issues in their race. And today's program is one of six VPR debates with the candidates for statewide office. With us today are Jim Condos, who is both the Democratic and Republican nominee. He won the Democratic primary and received enough write-in votes in the Republican primary to also be the GOP candidate. And with us is Ben Eastwood, who is the Progressive candidate. Great to have you both here. Thanks for participating in this debate.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for having us.
I want to mention that we did invite Liberty Union candidate Mary Alice Herbert, but she did not respond to our invitations. Now, if you'd like to ask the candidates a question, send us an email at vermontedition@vpr.net or post your question at our Facebook page, and we'll try to get to them a little later in the program. This is an excellent time to submit your question at vermontedition@vpr.net or at our Facebook page. Now, here's our format for the debate. It's the one we're using throughout campaign 2014. In the first round, I'll ask questions of the candidates. Now, your responses are limited to 60 seconds. There could be a follow-up question. In the second round, the candidates will have an opportunity to ask each other questions. Now, the questions should be no longer than 30 seconds. We really don't want speeches. And the responses no longer than 60 seconds, but you can have a follow-up question if you'd like. In the third round, we'll have questions from our listeners. And once again, to submit your question, send us an email at vermontedition@vpr.net or post your question at our Facebook page. Time permitting, we might have a lightning round of questions at the end of the program. And at the very end, I'll have a final question for both of you. So to start us off, Mr. Condos, the Secretary of State is the chief election officer for the state of Vermont. Voter turnout in the United States is considerably lower than in many other countries. Does the Secretary of State's office bear any responsibility for voter turnout in Vermont? Is it a reflection on your office that up to 40% of Vermont voters don't cast a ballot on Election Day?
Well, I think that's a really complex question. And you know, if you look around the country, Vermont actually ends up being in the top third for voter turnout. But the two states that really are above and beyond are Washington and the state of Oregon. They have mail order voting mail ballots. And the ballots are mailed directly, and they have somewhere around 85 to 90%. We're in a presidential year at 70%. And we're in the off-presidential year, we're at around 50% in the general election. We've taken some steps, not me directly. I'm administering what the law is that's given to me by the legislature, and we've taken some steps to make improvements. I go visit with schools and especially high schools during the spring of the year to try to encourage more kids to vote, to register to vote. We did pass the constitutional amendment to allow 17-year-olds to participate in the primary election if they're going to be 18 by general election day.
So what do you think of this idea of voting by mail?
I think it's something that we should look at. I know that there was a provision at one point in the House that it had asked, or in the Senate, one of the Senate bills 2 years ago had a provision that would ask us to do a report, a white paper on it. I am in contact with both my colleagues that are in Oregon and Washington, and they have an interesting setup the way they do it out there.
Any concerns about fraud?
Well, I mean, that's always a concern, but I think in this particular instance, if you've got a concern about vote by mail fraud, then you have a concern about early voting when you mail a ballot to someone, and it's the same thing. And in Vermont, we do have the early 45-day voting period, which I think it helps to get some of the turnout up there.
You know, some countries, I'm thinking now of Australia, if you don't vote, they fine you. What do you think of that?
That's an interesting concept. I don't think that would ever pass here in the United States or in Vermont, but I do think that they ought to look at making Election Day some kind of a state holiday.
Mr. Eastwood, if you're elected Secretary of State, what steps would you take to help increase voter turnout?
Well, I think one of the key issues that we need to look at is the fact that I believe that voters feel disconnected from the process, and voters feel like that there aren't candidates that represent them and aren't candidates that really abide by their campaign promises or even are focusing on the issues they want to focus on. So I think when we look at like the primary elections, we only had about a 9% voter turnout in the primary elections, which is where we choose the candidates in our general election. I think part of the problem is most of these elections haven't been contested. And non-contested primary elections don't draw voters, and non-contested general elections don't draw voters. So I think part of the way we can improve voter turnout is to encourage more candidates, more citizen candidates, to come up and step up when they feel they aren't being represented and represent themselves and to run for office.
And what do you think about this concept of instant runoff voting?
It's an interesting concept. I think some sort of proportional voting is a good way to help encourage independent and third-party candidates. I don't know exactly what flavor that comes in. I think that's something for the legislature to really look at. And I think there's been some cases where it's been really positive. But, the way our government is set up, it sort of pushes us down towards a road towards a parliamentary – more of a parliamentary government, and we're not really set up in the legislature for that sort of organizing system.
You know, there's one jurisdiction that is telling voters, if you go and vote, we'll put your name in a lottery and, you know, maybe you'll win $50,000 this year. Crazy idea or something that works?
We'll have to see how it works. I think we have a lot of room to get creative and find new ways to encourage people to get out there and vote. And I think we need to help find ways to also get people engaged in the conversation of the election as well, and to be able to have a voice to bring their issues up and to engage the candidates.
You're listening to the Secretary of State debate on Vermont Edition. Our guests are Progressive Ben Eastwood and Democrat Jim Condos. If you've got a question for the candidate, send it to us at vermontedition@vpr.net or post your question at our Facebook page. Mr. Condos, second question for you. A lot of people are very concerned about the amount of money that's spent in politics these days. We've had gubernatorial races in Vermont that cost more than $1.5 million. We've had state Senate races where people have spent more than $100,000. Now, Vermont has a public financing system in place for the races for governor and lieutenant governor. And this year, Dean Corin, who is the progressive and Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor, qualified for public financing. So he's eligible for $200,000 of public financing. Is this a good system? And if it is, should we consider expanding it?
First of all, I do support public financing because it's the one way you can actually get money out of politics. I think, though, that we might have bid off the wrong way. And this goes back into the 90s because we set it off so that you could have public financing for both governor and lieutenant governor. But we have at least three states that I know of. We have New Mexico, Connecticut and Maine that all have public financing for their legislative seats, and those legislative seats, approximately 80 to 85%, or 75 to 85% of those legislators are using public financing. It does, when you have public financing, as Dean Corin has said, you don't have to worry about fundraising. You've got the money. You can start talking about the issues.
Some people think if you look at the system of public financing that it really favors the incumbents because the incumbent has great name recognition. If you're a challenger and you're challenging somebody who's been in office for two or three terms and you're spending the same amount of money as that person or slightly more, as was the Vermont law a decade ago, it's still – some people think it gives the advantage to the incumbent. What do you say?
Well, I think in this particular election, what we're seeing, because the legislature did double the public financing grants for both governor and lieutenant governor. Now, the governor's race was interesting because it's only $600,000 compared to a governor who has $1 million in the bank. And those races have been up around $1 million for a governor in the past. But the lieutenant governor, when they increased it from $100,000 to $200,000, it became immediately a viable race for someone to use public financing. So I think, you know, it really depends. It depends on the candidates, but it also depends on the financing part of it as far as how the candidates are going to deal with it. And I think, again, it does take the money out of the picture. The question is, how are you going to fund it? And that's the big question. How would you fund public financing if we expanded it?
So if you're reelected, would you encourage the 2015 legislature to look at public financing for legislative races?
I would encourage them to look at it. I'm not going to encourage them to pass it at this point because it would depend on what it is that they actually were going to pass. They should look at it. They should look at any way possible. You know, my opponent spoke a couple of minutes ago about the primary election. The primary election is actually an election for the parties. It's not a state election. That's a party election to determine their candidates. And, you know, you have some parties had a very negligible amount of turnout, and others had a little bit more. But in overall, it was only 9%. That's this time. Last time, it was 24%.
And what do you say to those critics of public financing who say, I don't want you using my tax dollars to support a candidate that I don't support?
Well, these were not tax dollars. Actually, the money came from corporate fees paid to the Secretary of State's office, and it goes into what's called the Secretary of State's Services Fund. And what we have to do is, when someone qualifies, is we have to submit a request to the administration to go over our budget for that amount of money.
Mr. Eastwood, what do you think about this idea of public financing?
Well, I think it's a great idea. I think we need to expand it. I agree with Mr. Kondos that this is one of the best ways we have to get corporate and special interest money out of our elections. As far as funding it goes, I think there's a lot to be said for the idea that when we have public financing, it will actually lower other costs in government because it lowers some of that idea of graft and that revolving door, you know, quid pro quo sort of pay for play legislation that can happen when we see on the federal level, I think. I would like to see it expanded to the full statewide and legislative ticket. I think it will. I think when we have candidates who are conscious of the fact that they're using the people's money to run their campaigns, as opposed to these different special interests, that it will make them focus more on the issues that are important to the people rather than on corporate donors.
I know you've talked about special interest money at the national level and its impact there. Do you think there's an impact here in Vermont as well?
Well, I think in Vermont there's I think we see some real impacts of at least lobbyist control or influence in our legislature. You know, we passed a anti-fracking bill, and yet we see this natural gas pipeline being sort of force-fed down the Champlain Valley. And you know, there's other areas where I don't feel that the laws that are being passed or the operation of government really meets what we as Vermonters want to see in this state. So I think by shifting that focus from the corporate and special interests and pleasing those special interests, it will inevitably make a more responsive government to Vermonters' needs.
And if you expanded it as much as you wanted to, let's say to all the statewide offices and perhaps the legislative offices, how would you pay for it?
Well, I think that's a conversation that we'll have to look at in the legislature. Increase the fees, or do we look at ways that to document the savings that we have and pay through it through the general fund? It's a conversation that we'll have to have in the legislature. There's a lot of options out there. Connecticut and other states have done it, so we can do it too, I think.
You are listening to the Secretary of State debate on Vermont Edition. Once again, if you've got a question for the candidate, send an email to vermontedition@vpr.net or post your question at our Facebook page. Our third question, Mr. Kondos, I'm wondering, as you look at your priorities in office, if you could change one area, if you could have a big impact on one area, authority that you have, something you could do that would have the largest positive impact on all Vermonters, What would it be?
I think what I've been working on for the last 4 years, and that's government transparency and accountability. I think, you know, I've been walking the walk in that area since I was first elected. I've started my Vermont Transparency Tour. I've visited at this point over 30 communities and presented the access to public records and open meeting laws to help people understand what their government is doing. And I think that's really the basis of everything we do, that in elections. And we're right now working on a new elections IT system that will also improve the integrity of our election system.
So when it comes to transparency, are you concerned that some groups, city councils, others, don't abide by the public access law? Or are you trying to empower citizens to know what their rights are?
A little bit of both. We've actually been working to educate. I feel that really a big part of the problem is education, and that municipalities, municipal governments, just don't understand the law necessarily. I think many do, most do, but I think that there is some misconception about certain parts of the law. And really, if you look at the law in the statutes, it's pretty short. It's not a long section of the document, but it reverts right back to the Constitution, which says that the elected officials are accountable to the people.
And Mr. Eastwood, what would you do if you could step into the Secretary of State's office and really have one top priority, something that you could put into place by yourself without legislative approval? What might it be?
Wow. Well, I mean, I think it's sort of a difficult situation because the Secretary of State's office is, you know, a regulatory and enforcement arm and is supposed to enact the will of the legislature and not really in a situation or not to enact much on its own. But I think what the Secretary of State can do is be a strong advocate for certain issues. And, you know, I think lobbyist accountability is one of the big issues. And, you know, continuing this work that we've started on our website, on the Secretary of State website and bill reporting to bring that up to the 21st century. We have right now we have basically still a one-way communication from the legislature to the people, and it's better because it's more searchable. But we can update this to a two-way conversation through forums, through using our web resources, so we can have engage the people in a conversation and hold lobbyists and legislators accountable for the information that gets put out there.
You know, some people don't think that the Secretary of State should advocate for a policy, but rather the Secretary of State should implement the policy that's set by the legislature. If you're elected Secretary of State, do you think it's appropriate to go up to the State House and actually advocate for certain positions?
Oh, I think it's absolutely necessary. I think if we look at an example with the election law that we have where we've run into some issues in this state with the primary vote count making it so that we haven't been able to get ballots out to our deployed troops in time to meet federal guidelines. And this is something that the legislature has known about and still has not addressed. So it's going to become a potential issue down the pike. And I think as a Secretary of State, it's important that to be able to go and show some leadership and help drag the legislature along to do the right thing sometimes.
I just want to address that one last part that my opponent was raising. We have addressed those issues of the overseas and military voters. The law was originally – it's a federal law that was originally passed by Congress in 2009. And in 2010 and then – which was under my predecessor, and then in 2012, which was my first election, we did have some problems due to the way that our election system is set up here in Vermont and when the primary date was set. For instance, at the last – in the 2012 election, we only had 3 days to produce the ballots from the time we had the court decision on the recount. And following that up, we did get the legislature to make some changes to some of the deadlines on recounts and things like that that helped give us a little bit more time. And then we also have moved some of the for the next election cycle, we've moved the primary up by 2 weeks, which will take care of us. This time we only had one ballot that went out wrong, and that ballot went out because it had the wrong email address.
Well, Mr. Eastwood, let's give you a chance to follow up on that. You know, the primary this year was the fourth Tuesday in August, I believe. What do you think of that idea? Some people look at that and say, that's a terrible time. It's the middle of the summer. People aren't around. It should be in June. It should be in July. When's the best time to have a primary?
Well, I think we need to be careful about going too early in the election season. I cut my teeth in Vermont politics on the Rocky Anderson presidential campaign 2 years ago, and one of the things that we ran up against in that campaign was these trying to meet these early filing deadlines that we have. And people, voters, are just not interested in politics in January and February, even up until June when we have the deadlines now. You know, it's November. It's, you know, months and months away. So it'll take sort of a cultural change, I think, for people to become more involved year-round in politics for an earlier filing deadlines or earlier primaries to really be effective in Vermont, I think.
This concludes our first round of questions. Once again, if you've got a question for the candidate, send us an email at vermontedition@vpr.net or post your question at our Facebook page. When we come back, the candidates will ask each other questions. You're listening to the VPR Secretary of State debate on Vermont Edition. Welcome back to VPR's Secretary of State debate on Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. With me today are the two major party candidates for this office, Progressive Ben Eastwood and Democrat Jim Kondos. And if you've got questions for the candidates, send us an email at vermontedition@vpr.net. Now, in this second round of our debate, the candidates have an opportunity to ask each other questions. Once again, the questions shouldn't be any longer than 30 seconds, and the responses are limited to 60 seconds, but you can have a brief follow-up question if you want to. So, Ben Eastwood, start us off. What's your first question for Jim Kondos?
Well, with your long corporate career, from the communications manager and lobbyist for Vermont Natural Gas to your years with a Fortune 100 corporation and your time as a politician, you have a lot of experience with corporations and the potential influence and control that they can exert over our government. This is a growing problem for Vermont, as the article in 7 Days a few months back pointed out. One of the key duties as Secretary of State is to oversee the lobbyists and to ensure that they don't exert improper influence and displace the will of the people. With your corporate background, you have a special understanding of exactly how a corrupt lobbyist or politician could game the system to benefit their corporate cronies. How would you use that experience to help reel in lobbyists and help restore the people's voice to our government?
I think I've been doing that. And actually, when I was a state senator, we drew a fine line that we stayed on the right side of to prevent any potential conflict. And there are many a time when I would vote for an energy bill that I would actually claim rule, I think it was 71, which is a conflict of interest rule, so I would not be voting on that bill. But I think it's up – Vermont's laws are – pretty well set. And I think what we have to do is to understand what those laws are and participate that way. Now, I will tell you that I did work for corporations. Many of us have worked with corporations. In fact, corporations are – nonprofits are included in corporations. Energy companies or energy advocates are renewable energy advocates are corporations. So I think it's important to understand that corporations are good and bad. There's not any one size that fits all, and I think it's difficult when you make statements like that you attack someone because they work for a company.
Oh, I wasn't intending that as an attack. I was pointing out that, you know, there is no ethics laws in Vermont right now that really protect the vote. And as I spent a lot of time sitting in Senate and House hearings for the GMO labeling bill, and I was appalled at the way that lobbyists could come in and play fast and loose with the truth and make misleading statements, and that there was no accountability for that, and that there was no way for me as a citizen to be able to address that and correct the facts. And that's what I'm talking about. And how would you change that?
I think I have been changing it, and frankly, we're implementing shortly after the first of the year. We will be implementing the new IT software that includes the lobbyist disclosure piece. And what we have to do is improve our disclosure requirements. That's where we're really going to make the input and the impact on citizens' knowledge of what's going on. I think you have to be very careful when you call lobbyists bad, because they're fast and loose with the truth, because frankly, you know, you've got all kinds of lobbyists out there, and the legislature does not have a lot of staff, and they rely on people who are lobbying. Even citizens are actually lobbying the legislature when they go testify. So you have to be careful about that, and I think that the Secretary of State's office, their job is to make sure that the information is available to the people so they can make their own determinations.
Jim Condos, your first question for Ben Eastwood.
Sure. So, Ben, you obviously have some very strong political ideas. And for instance, some of them are you think that Vermont should have a state bank, that vaccinations should be optional, and you've made your views very clear on the Middle Eastern policy. I don't think I've yet heard you articulate any real policies that directly relate to the Vermont Secretary of State's office. In fact, many of the policies that you've been talking about seem to be the federal Secretary of State, not the Vermont Secretary of State. So why are you running for the Secretary of State's office?
Well, I think that, you know, I want to focus on three main issues as Secretary of State and in this race. I think the first issue is the lobbyist issue, and I have brought up and I think try to do a good job of articulating why I feel that we need to oversee and more stringently regulate our lobbyists. I think we need to take the IT end of things and bring it up to the 21st century. We have to allow people, the voting people of Vermont, to be able to weigh in and be part of the discussion. Right now, lobbyists, whether or not they're public advocates or whether they're for-profit corporate lobbyists, are engage in conversations with our legislature that we as a public do not have access to. So I would like to see lobbyist testimony be made publicly available within a 24-hour period, or even preferably before they make the testimony to the State House. I would like to see some sort of forum like Wikipedia or Reddit, where we can have some more crowdsourcing and exchange, a two-way exchange between the people of Vermont and the legislatures, to hold that information that we have coming to our legislators accountable, so that we can all be on the same page as to what is important for Vermont. What's important for Vermont?
Okay, and as a follow-up to that, what you just described there's no authority in the Secretary of State's office to do that. But I just, you know, there are five divisions in the Secretary of State's office. I don't know if you're aware of that. Four of them are public-facing. In other words, the public actually interacts with. Two of those right now have had complete new IT systems put in, and the third one we're working on right now, we've got a brand new website. What one legislative charge would you go to the legislature with this year if you were elected as Secretary of State?
Well, I think that the update, we've done a good job of bringing our website up to the best of the 20th century, but we're in the 21st century now, and I think that when you look at the way that we can conduct business online and that we conduct government online and the opportunities we have to bring that up, I would expand on the work you started with the IT to bring a more direct democracy. I think another area, there's other areas we can look at too. We can look at elections laws and to help level the playing field, to ensure that candidates have an equal access to the ballots regardless of political affiliation or lack thereof. Another area that I'd like to look at is bringing law enforcement into the under the jurisdiction of the OPR and have a consistent statewide regulation of our law enforcement to ensure that as we ask them to do a more and more complex job, that there's still public accountability for that.
You are listening to the VPR Secretary of State's debate on Vermont Edition. With us today, the two major party candidates, Democrat Jim Condos and also Ben Eastwood, who is the progressive candidate. And once again, if you do have a question, email it to us at vermontedition@vpr.net or post your question at our Facebook page. Time for a second question from Ben Eastwood.
Well, I think that the second question really ties into with what I've been talking about here. And just to really cut it short, how do you feel that we can help expand our website to help draw more people into the conversation with our legislature so that the public of Vermont, the people of Vermont can see the testimony that's being provided so that they can hold, they can then fact check and be able to hold that accountable and to be able to communicate right now with each other as well. Right now, we can – I'll just stop there. Thanks.
Okay. It's a good question, but I think you're asking the wrong person. It's really, if you think about it, what we've done on our website is really 21st century. We're positioned to be for the future, and our website now, which we just went on live with back in April, May timeframe, is really state of the art, and we have got more information available to the public than ever before, and every day we have more information that's available to the public. But I think that the piece that you're asking about is the legislature, and all I can say about that is that we have actually talked with the legislative IT folks and provided them some of the information that we used when we developed our website. They were very interested in our website, so they're interested in redoing their website, and this is one way that we've worked with other agencies. We work with agencies across the state of Vermont. I mean, we work with every state agency there is, and we have connections to a lot of them as well.
So I think one of the issues is that, we have a large resource here in Vermont of between our universities and colleges and our small independent web design and IT corp companies here in Vermont. So how can we engage these corporations, these local companies and these resources that we have to help control the costs of bringing this web or website into the further into the 21st century?
Again, we are in the 21st century with our website. But I will say that we have gone through the state procurement. We follow the state procurement rules. So when we go out for with an RFP, we take all comers as far as when they respond back to that. I have made it a point to ensure that if there is a Vermont company that replies to an RFP, that we at least interview them to make sure that they're if they qualify, that we have a chance to work with them. We did have on one of our systems a Vermont company that bid on a job, but it would have cost us twice as much to go through the use of that company. We chose not to go through with that because they were going to design it from scratch, and we had another company that was going to cost us half as much, and it was already a proven technology. I think the other part of that is that it's important. Well, time's up.
So we have a second question from Jim Condos.
Sure.
For Ben Eastwood.
You've pretty much made it clear that you are anti-lobbyist, and as an elected official that oversees lobbyists and lobbyist disclosures, how would you handle overseeing a profession that you've been so publicly against? If you, in other words, it's the relationship that you have to have as well. And would you see your activist work against lobbyists as a conflict of interest should you be elected?
Well, I think it's incorrect to say I'm against lobbyists or anti-lobbyist. I think we need to hold lobbyists accountable to provide accurate and honest information and to be able to disclose that they're where they're being funded from and how much they're spending and do that in an open and transparent way before votes are made in the legislature and allow the people of Vermont to have a chance to respond to that. We have corporations that can spend millions of dollars to send you know, dozen, an army of lobbyists to Vermont like we had with the GMO bill. And it took filling the State House up, you know, twice to fill the entire chamber up with people in unison demanding honest labeling to be heard over this tsunami of corporate cash that came in to fight this honest labeling bill. And I think that I want to level the playing field and ensure that our lobbyists are held accountable to provide accurate and honest information. But I'm not against lobbyists.
As a follow-up, registered lobbyists and lobbyist employers often include nonprofits and small businesses who work with legislators on social issues and provide the data that the state needs in order to make sure that the most vulnerable populations in Vermont are served. These lobbyists testify for budgeting. They testify for bills that are crucial to the issues, such as paid sick days, providing shelters for the homeless, Medicaid, and more. Can you clarify for me if you are also against this kind of lobbying? And then as a second part of that, how would you attempt to define what's a good lobbyist versus a bad lobbyist?
Well, again, I'm not against lobbyists, and I don't think that there's a good lobbyist versus a bad lobbyist beyond whether there's an honest lobbyist or a lobbyist who's willing to be less than honest in order to meet a corporate agenda. I think there's a difference between advocates who come in and advocate for the public good and for individuals and vulnerable populations, and lobbyists who come in and advocate for for-profit natural gas pipelines for a multinational Canadian corporation that people are under the threat of losing their property through eminent domain over. And I think that when the stakes are this high, that lobbyists I'll use air quotes, both sides of the boards should be have a high standard of accountability to the truth and to the people of Vermont.
This concludes our second round of questions. When we come back, we'll have some questions from our listeners. You're listening to the Secretary of State debate on Vermont Edition. Welcome back to the VPR Secretary of State debate on Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. With me today are the two major party candidates for this office, Progressive Ben Eastwood and Democrat Jim Condos. We now have a bunch of questions that we've gotten from our listeners. And let's start off with Kevin in Jeffersonville. Mr. Condos, you can start us off on this one. Kevin writes, I'm a recently retired attorney who worked for many years with Vermont captive insurance companies. In my experience, the corporation's division has been very slow and efficient, far behind many other states in terms of electronic filing and in terms of accepting electronic payments. This situation exacerbates the perception of Vermont as unfriendly to business. What can be done to address this problem?
I think we have already addressed it, and I think if Kevin would go to the website today, you will find a completely different scenario. We did put a new system in place last year. We've been kind of bridging between the old system and the new, but we did not accept credit cards before. When I took office, we did not accept credit cards. We did not accept bank-to-bank transfers. In fact, we had 0% online activity. Today, annual report filings and UCC lien filings are now up to 95% online, and the money, we receive the money and it's processed immediately. We've taken business registration for new businesses from what was once a 10 to 12 day process, and we're now down to 30 to 60 minutes. So I think we've made huge improvements, and we're getting better all the time.
Ben Eastwood, what are your thoughts on this issue?
Well, I think we need to continue to expand and improve on the way the use of technology that we have available to us to make government in general more accessible, whether it's, you know, UCC corporate filings or any of the other branches of government. I think that the more accessible we can make it to business, to people, to individuals, I think the better it is for everybody.
We got this email from Rick in South Burlington who asked, polls show we've reached the point to get elected that politicians need huge amounts of money. It's a system problem. At the state of Vermont level, how do we support efforts to fix the federal political problem of improper representation of the interests of the majority of American citizens? Ben Eastwood, what about that? Is there a role at the Vermont state level to get involved with campaign finance reform at the federal level?
Well, not within the Secretary of State's office per se. I think really that as my opponents pointed out, there's a separation between our state and our federal levels of influence. I think on the state level, we're starting to address that, and I think we have a long way to go. But we can, if we continue to work at that and plug away at that, we can hold our we can make that a more transparent and accountable.
Again, the courts have left us in dire straits on this overall, and really what they've left us with is improved disclosures. Really, the only solution that we have left. And we're working on that now. We've increased this past year. We increased the number of filing deadlines for Vermont state candidates. And I work, you know, I'm in contact with Senator Leahy, Senator Sanders, and Congressman Welch on a frequent basis with my thoughts on pending legislation before them as to how it would affect Vermont or what we Vermont would think thinks should happen. But you know, we're left really with disclosure, and that's the important thing is to improve the disclosure requirements.
Ben Eastwood, Vermont's one of the few states that doesn't have party registration. If you go over to New York State, there's party registration, and you need to be a registered Democrat or a Republican in order to vote in that party's primary. Some of the major parties in Vermont would like to see that kind of system here in Vermont. What do you think about having party registration for Vermont voters?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. And, I mean, we also are one of the few states that allows fusion candidates. So you can have a Democratic and Republican candidate or a progressive Democrat candidate. We have open primaries, which can be a good and a bad thing. On general principles, I don't really agree with forcing people to register with a particular party, but as this primary election has shown, when we have open primary elections and we have people sort of voting across party lines in our primaries, I mean, our primaries really aren't so much of a partisan thing as they used to be. We have, you know, our progressive candidate running for the Democratic nomination and endorsement. We had a progressive candidate in the southern part of the state who had ballot access in the primary but lost her seat due to a write-in campaign from an independent candidate down there. So it's a complex question, but with a lot of direct impact here in the state right now.
Jim Condos, what do you think about party registration?
Well, you know, the state of Vermont changed from a caucus or convention instead to a primary back in the 1918, around that time period, and that's when we went to the election primary form of settling the ballot questions or ballot candidates. And I think that this comes up periodically. I believe that there will be a legislation that will be introduced this year to allow a party to determine whether it wants a caucus or convention or versus an election in coming years. But right now, I think Vermonters have said they don't like to say I'm a Republican or a Democrat or a progressive.
It's time now for the final question of our debate. Let's start off with you, Jim Condos. You've been Secretary of State for two terms. Why should Vermont voters elect you to a third term?
First of all, I want to thank VPR for hosting this debate. My whole life has been devoted to public service and improving governmental processes, starting on the local level. And I think a lot of that has to come from my private sector work, working for private companies, and I've learned how to deal with the aspects of business and how you need to bring that level of discussion to the state level. My whole 4 years as Secretary of State, I've been very active. We've fixed the access to public records laws. We've changed the open meeting laws, and I've accomplished a lot as far as updating our IT solutions and working forward. And we're continuing to work to improve.
Ben Eastwood, very briefly.
I feel like I bring an outside viewpoint to this to the conversation. I don't think of myself as a politician. I'm a citizen. I'm a resident of Vermont. I'm a citizen. I really have been focusing mostly on a lot of local and municipal issues. I sit on the Montpelier Conservation Commission, and I just feel that we need somebody in the position who's going to be an advocate for the people of Vermont and who will be an advocate for their voice to make sure their voice is heard. And that's what I would bring to the seat.
This concludes the VPR Secretary of State debate. Many thanks to our candidates today, Ben Eastwood and Jim Condos. We really appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is our program for today. Our next debate will be on Tuesday on Vermont Edition, and we'll have the major party candidates for the U.S. House. Send your questions for the candidates to vermontedition@vpr.net and listen Tuesday at noon. Vermont Edition is produced by Patty Daniels, Rick Singeri, and Sage Van Wing. Mary Williams directed the program. Our executive producer is John Van Hoosen. I'm Bob Kinzel. Have a great weekend. Thank you.